welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs. We're here each Sunday at 11 a.m. on 850 WFTL in South Florida. I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here again today with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Sachs, PA. Eric is board certified by the Florida Bar in Condominium and Plan Development Law. And the firm has offices in Fort Lauderdale and is available for appointment in Orlando, Tallahassee, and Nashville. How cool is that? And we're here each week to answer all your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy nuts from 1 minute to the next. We would love to get the phone lines going early. Remember, don't wait to the end of the show to call. You want to get some free advice from Eric about anything going on in your HOA or in your condo association. He'll answer all those questions no matter where you are in the state. Give us a call right here in the studio, 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the email the show tab.
All right. Good morning, everybody. And if you're a fan of the show and like to read our blogs and newsletters, make sure to go to our website, condocrazeandhoas.com. Join our email list. We've got over 8,000 of you on there.
Wow.
By joining each week, and you get announcements about the show, our blog, our seminars, our newsletters, lots of seminars coming up, by the way, updates on the law, and by the way, the legislative session is more than halfway done. There's definitely going to be some condo and HOA bills that are going to be passed, and as we get closer to the end, we'll let you know.
And you're sponsoring them?
How that's going to come out. So far, we're having a little difficulty getting the education bill passed.
Really? That's unbelievable. Why would they not like that?
You would think, because some legislators live in districts where they're saying it's impossible to find teachers where we live in the sticks.
Oh, in the sticks.
So, yeah, but they're allowing these courses now by way of
online. Maybe you could do it. So I was going to say, you could do it online.
Online, absolutely. So there's no excuse. It's just a BS excuse. So let's see if we can get it passed. And hopefully if some of our listeners demand it from the legislature, we'll be able to do away with that silly, self-serving, dumb affidavit that I talk about, like, week in and week out. By the way, we do a blog every single Monday morning at hoa-condoblog.com. Again, hoa-condoblog.com. Tomorrow's topic, be careful about the cable bill and learn why the common cable bill is not common like all the others.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that one's a little tricky. So, Karen, you know, sometimes timing is everything, right?
Yep,
Last week, we started our discussion about what to look for in your lawyer. So what happens 2 days ago? The porn lawyer, Michael Avenatti, right, who was the liberal media's go-to guy.
The slip and fall, creepy porn slip and fall guy.
Yeah, he gets convicted CPL. On three counts of trying to extort millions of dollars from Nike.
They even had him on, they recorded him.
Yes.
They had a recording of it.
Absolutely. People were wearing a wire.
So he was actually convicted of trying to extort up to $25 million from Nike by threatening to expose alleged corruption in the company, something that they were paying college athletes. He was going to, and he was going to do it right as their quarterly financial report would come out and just totally trash them. So he's found guilty of misusing his client's information in an effort to extort tens of millions of dollars from Nike. And while the defendant may have tried to hide behind legal terms and a suit and tie, the jury clearly saw the defendant's scheme for what it was, an old-fashioned shakedown.
Shakedown, exactly. And apparently, like you said, his client, Gary Franklin, he ran a youth basketball league in L.A., and he was angry that Nike ended like a decade-long sponsorship that was providing $72,000 annually and some free gear to this basketball league. And he also said that Nike made him pass illegal cash payments on to the parents of some players. So to stop Nike from ending their sponsorship, what did Avenatti do? He sought $1 million for the client, $1.5 million for the client. Get this, nearly $22 million. For himself.
Sure. Yeah. You know, usually you get 33 and a third, but right. Or 40% seems like in this case he wants 90%. I think maybe because he felt like he intimidated the president, he could intimidate Nike. Why not?
Nike. Yeah. So you're right. Typically a contingency fee is about a third or 40%. So here the lawyer wanted like $22 million or threatened to hold a press conference to attempt to destroy Nike. Well, little did he know, he was being set up, he was being recorded.
Yep.
And by the way, what did they find out at the time? Apparently, Avenatti was in debt at least $12 million.
Oh, yeah.
Bucks.
He stole from Stormy. His taxes are a mess.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
Man.
Right.
So, I mean, they just don't end with this conviction. He's still facing charges that he stole again from Stormy Daniels, money from the book deal, and a May trial in Los Angeles on charges that he defrauded clients and others of millions of dollars. And, of course, then he's got the IRS to deal with.
Right. It's endless. And so you got theft, extortion, stealing from clients. And this was the guy, Karen, that CNN.
Oh, yeah.
The View, MSNBC.
You should run for president.
They were gushing over him. They were literally gushing over this guy, having him on every single night as some kind of an expert. And if you weren't blinded by his BS, you sat there wondering, why in the world is the liberal press kissing this guy's butt every single night? Like, what are this guy's qualifications other than representing some porn star and hating Donald Trump? Why did the liberal media fall for this?
Yeah, but not only did they put him on display every night, but this was supposed to be the Democrats' guy to actually win the Democrat primary.
Right,
to
exactly.
beat Trump as the president of the United States. I mean, they were actually propping him up and rooting for him to become president. I like the fact that he was in front of the bar, disciplinary committee, when he got arrested in L.A.
Right, exactly.
He went
Isn't
out in
ironic?
The hallway.
Right. Imagine
he was still
being
fighting to keep his...
At your bar meeting?
No.
Your bar disciplinary meeting?
Oh,
incredible.
My God.
But Fox was the only station that treated this guy like he should have been treated, always calling him. Tucker had a line from, "You're the creepy porn lawyer." And during the live interview, we'd call him that.
Yeah, CPL.
Right? Well, exactly. While all the other stations just couldn't get enough of him. But here's what his own client, we mentioned Stormy Daniels, here's what she said about him. "Sadly, it appears what Michael Avenatti did to me was just a tip of an iceberg of deceit. I'm not surprised as this honesty has been revealed on a grand scale. His arrogant, fraudulent, and overly aggressive behavior became so pervasive that the jury found his true character. Mm-hmm. Although clearly a just result, I do feel sad for his children and foolish for believing his lies."
Oh, my
so
God.
Long.
I didn't know he had children.
Yeah.
Oh, he has spawned. He spawned children. So what's interesting is this Lev Parnas guy also became a media darling, just kind of like... Blasey Ford.
Yeah, anyone who doesn't have any credentials whatsoever, but as long as they hate Trump, bottom line, that puts you to the
You're
top
in.
Of the line as some legal expert. But there you have it. You know, since we're already on a topic of what to look for in your attorney, what we started last week. So take it from Stormy Daniels, if from no one else. You want honesty. You don't want arrogance. You don't want fraud. You don't want overly aggressive behavior. And at least on that issue, Stormy and I agree. But let's find out what our listeners want and expect from their lawyer.
Yay.
Taking our first break of the hour. So keep the calls coming in, everybody. 877-850-8585. 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Ah, the finer things. Spectacular wine, exotic vacations, or just the time to enjoy the view from your condo? Affinity Management Services gives you time to enjoy them. We provide full-service community association management, including site, administrative, and financial services. We handle everything from complaints and collection of assessments to emergency services and maintenance, giving you more time. Fully accredited by the National Board of Certification for Community Association Managers, we promise service delivered with integrity and respect. And we're endorsed by the Better Business Bureau for our streamlined and professional approach to quality service. Join hundreds of board members across South Florida and call us today at 305-325-4243. Affinity Management Services, simplifying your life to make time for the finer things. 305-325-4243. AffinityManagementServices.com.
Never wait for that first drop of water to leak from your ceiling before you decide to check your roof. Once damage sets in, repairs become more expensive. Invest in a true life cycle roof management program with Best Roofing and protect your building's assets. A roof management service agreement with Best Roofing will prolong the life of your roof, preventing premature roof failure. Let Best Roofing help your association save money with our annual service agreements that prevent leaks, provide emergency service, and increase the life expectancy of your roof. We give you a realistic budget, so there are no unwelcome surprises. Our roof service agreements also provide for cleaning all debris, minor maintenance, sealing and topping off all pitch pans, caulking, and more. And should a storm hit or other emergency occur, clients with service agreements get priority service. To schedule your free condo roof analysis, call Best Roofing at 954-941-9111. That's 954-941-9111. Visit our website at bestroofing.net.
Is your condominium starting to crumble? Are your balconies breaking down? Are pieces of concrete and stucco flying off your building, making the building look ugly and putting your residents at risk? Are you in need of your 40-year certification for your building? If so, you need Carousel Development and Restoration right away. Carousel is a concrete restoration company specializing in high-rise condominiums throughout South Florida. Whether you need balcony repairs, garage decks, full deck replacement, rail fabrication and installation, impact windows and doors, or painting and waterproofing, Carousel has you covered. After all, we're South Florida's largest locally owned structural restoration contractor and have been located in Delray since 1979. We know how tough it is to start projects in your condo. Where do you begin? You begin by calling the licensed and insured experts at Carousel Restoration for a free estimate. 561-272-3700. That's 561-272-3700.
Or visit the website cdri.net.
Are the roads, parking lots, and walkways in your community association in need of repair? Driveway Maintenance can help. We are the largest seal coating company in the United States and have been an industry leader for over 57 years in asphalt restoration, asphalt paving, parking lot striping and maintenance, concrete sidewalks, curbing, or ADA parking lot compliance. Let Driveway Maintenance pave the way and make your community look great. At Driveway Maintenance, we believe in well-trained personnel, top-quality equipment and materials, and friendly customer service. Our customers include office building complexes, educational facilities, hospitals, hotel chains, apartment complexes, and of course, condominium and homeowner associations, and the largest mall and big box retail companies in the country. Driveway Maintenance, Inc. is a LEED accredited, Green Advantage certified, environmentally responsible, full service asphalt paving contractor and seal coating expert. Driveway Maintenance serves the entire state of Florida and most of the southeastern United States. Call Driveway Maintenance for a free estimate at 1-800-432-1191. That's 800-432-1191. And you can visit our website at driveway.net.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be
Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Karen Curtis with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Sachs, board certified by the Florida Bar and Condominium and Plan Development Law. Don't wait to the end of the show. Give them a call right now if you have a question about anything happening in your condo or HOA. The number to call, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585.
All right, so let's continue with that topic that's obviously near and dear to my heart, and that is, what are the most important factors that actually go into a board's decision to hire counsel? So, you know, I'll start it out. I'll list a few, and it would be great, like you say, Karen, if our listeners called in and told us what they deem to be important in choosing counsel, even for your association or for yourself.
Yeah, so here's an important factor. There's over 77,000 licensed attorneys in the state of Florida, but only 190, that's like 0.0001, that are board certified in condominium and plan development law. So do you have, or you want to have a board certified attorney working with your association? You would think so. I mean, you don't go to a plastic surgeon that's not board certified.
Right, exactly. So this is, you know, obviously a new factor. I'm pretty happy about that, that the board, that the Florida Bar now considers condominium law something that you can be board certified in.
It's really important.
I was lucky. I was allowed to become board certified simply based on longevity and merit. And that window has now closed for Florida attorneys. They only let a few people in that way. And now if you want to become board certified, you actually have to pass a rather difficult examination, right? So that brings us, you know, to
that'll mean less
question.
And less people will do it.
Exactly, right. You know, how important is it to have an attorney? How about with experience? You know, and at what point would you consider an attorney as experienced? What does it mean to be experienced? Is experience 5 years? Is it 10 years, 20 years or more? You know, how do you define it? Right?
What is your experience?
So now I'm doing this for my God. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I got to actually admit it to the bar in 92.
Uh-huh.
So 28 years.
Well, that's experience.
Point. That's experience.
And the other
thing
is, Eric, half the state lives in a community association. Half the state.
Absolutely.
It's huge. It impacts many, many people.
No question. And just, by the way, that percentage is only going to keep going up. You don't see any homes being built in something that's not part of a community association anymore. You know, or part of a condominium or HOA.
That's right.
Cooperative. Used to be, you know, a developer would buy a big parcel of land, right? Divide it up in lots and blocks and sell off private homes. Not part of an HOA. But you don't see that anymore. The thinking is, nope, let's put it all in an HOA. So instead of everybody having to have a pool, we can build one community pool. Mm-hmm. We can build shared communities. So everybody would get the benefit of these things that, you know, wouldn't normally are only for a single private house. But if you put one in a nice community, everybody gets the benefit.
I mean, even apartments now are purchased by separate owners and now have become HOAs.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's why the longer you're practicing, the more you can charge too, right?
Yes, absolutely. no question about it. And by the way, that's one of the criteria that courts typically take into consideration when deciding how much an attorney should get in attorney's fees when they win a case. Several of the things that go in there are whether or not that attorney is board certified. That's certainly one factor. And experience is certainly another. And, I think the experience may be the most important factor of them all. You know, don't get me wrong on this, by the way. A new attorney or an attorney with just a few years experience can be a fantastic lawyer. They really can. But there's really no substitute for a lawyer who can give you an analysis of your case based upon experience. You know, I did that before. I know how that goes.
Right.
But, you know, based upon whether or not that case may have legal merit, but you may still be unlikely to win it. You know, someone who can tell you to save your money, because even if you win, the judgment won't be worth the paper it's written on, right?
Right.
Someone who can tell you that it may be difficult to win the case at trial, but you have a better shot on appeal. So all that experience comes into play, and that's pretty important. It's not enough to just know the law. You have to know more than the law. You have to know, well, wait a minute, what is this going to sound like to a judge? Even though the law is in favor, are the facts so bad where I just can't see a judge, you know, giving you a victory on this case?
And when you cite precedent, it's probably one of your own cases.
Oftentimes
that
it is. Yeah, that's what's funny. Right.
But what's interesting is that these kids coming out of college and law school, I know with doctors, education and everything is advancing all the time.
Sure.
So the longer you're in the business, so you have continuing education, I'm sure, and keeping up all the time.
Absolutely.
Exactly. And so, I mean, how many other lawyers are board certified? Because I know doctors get board certified. When did they start board certifying lawyers?
So there, board certification existed for lots of other areas in the law for a long time, such as real estate, such as a trial. But finally, and really credit to the people who worked hard getting this done, the Florida Bar recognized that condominium and plan development law really became an area of specialization.
Oh, yeah.
Where attorneys should be recognized as having some sort of special skills, special training. And I, for one, very happy, very proud, actually, that the Florida Bar now recognizes this very unique area of law.
And with everyone's docs expiring and stuff, it's a complete mess.
Catastrophic.
Complete mess.
I think we got our first call.
Yeah, we have
of
tons
day,
of calls here.
Okay, who do we got? Mark in Palm Beach. How are you, Mark?
Hey, how are you?
Okay, how can we help?
A resident in my condo or an owner in my condo made a complaint to the GDPR, and I was just calling to know if that was going to have any or could possibly have any repercussions on homeowners.
Well, it depends what that complaint is.
The complaint was about the management company. I guess there were a few special assessments, and I guess the complaint was that the management company wasn't being as transparent as they should.
Okay. So probably that type of complaint won't have an effect on the members of the community. But let me give you an example where a complaint to the DBPR can result in financial issues for the members of the community. I always say this to the DBPR's credit. Again, this is a great time of year to actually teach this. So every association has to do year-end financial reporting. And what does that mean? For example, by April 30th of this year, right, so in about 2 months, every association in the state of Florida better have their year-end financial report for the year 2019 done, finished, completed. And you got to let everybody in the community know that it is done, finished, completed. And if they want a copy of it, the association can mail it to them or they can come into the office and get it. So, okay, that's a firm law in every association, got to be done by the end of April. But what happens when the association blows the deadline? Now, typically the DBPR, if a complaint is filed on a given matter, like this one with the manager, if the association did something wrong, the DBPR will say, look, we don't want to hurt you. We want to show you going forward how to do things right, how to do things the correct way. So we're not going to financially impose a penalty here. The exception to that rule, when you fail to file and prepare your year-end financial reports timely. So what can happen? The DBPR will issue a finding that you blew the deadline to do it and now fine your association $5,000 or more. So if you want to talk about whether or not a complaint to the DBPR can have an impact on the members of your community, yes, it can, to the tune of thousands and thousands of dollars. So if you take nothing else from the show today, everybody, do not blow the deadline for the end of April to have your year-end financial report, because that will cost you money in the end. Mark, thanks for the call. How about we go to Angela, West Palm Beach? Angela.
Hello.
Hey, Angela.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi. How are you doing, Eric?
Okay. How can we help?
My question to you is, we had our board meeting the other day, and there was a lady taping, so the vice president adjourned the meeting because she was taping, and the board says that she has to have permission before the meeting, and then has to ask the membership if anyone agrees or disagrees with her taping.
No, absolutely not true. This is a condo or an HOA?
This is a condo HOA. We have condo HOA. I don't know. We have an HOA, and it's condos.
Yeah. But, you know, you can make reasonable rules and regulations regarding the taping of meetings. For example, you can't have a machine that generates excessive light or excessive sound, right? Things of that nature.
Right.
But there is absolutely no question about it. You can't be blocking the view of people at a meeting, right? With your recording
right.
equipment.
She had it. She had it in her purse, and she was just taping. We had a Constitution Committee, and we were changing. We went through to do all of our articles to bring everything up to date, and we were just starting to review what we did, and that's what she was taping, and they shut the meeting down because they said no taping.
Absolutely no. Yeah, looking at the statute right now, unit owner may tape record or videotape the meetings. It's right in the statute. So give me a break. She had every right to actually go do that. And
okay.
I don't see the
big. Can you give me that statute number, Eric?
That statute number is 718.112.
Makes you wonder what they want to hide.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. And it's, what is it? I think it's 2B.
Well, like you were just talking about being transparent. Yeah, he will get one thing approved. Like, he was having our bathrooms done. He said it was $50,000 for the bathroom. We end up spending $108,000. So he's very transparent in how he does things.
Right. Well,
that's,
you know,
president.
What we'll do is, during the break, I know that the Division of Condominiums has made certain rules and regulations, and I'll check them out during the break. And keep listening, and I'll let you know what else it says about making rules. Okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for the call, Angela. All right. How about who else we got, Karen?
We got
Julia in Hollandale.
There you go.
How are you, Julia?
Good morning. Thanks. I'm fine. Good morning, Eric. Good morning, Karen.
Hey.
You brought up a topic of getting a proper attorney, a well-qualified attorney. My question is, what is the best way to structure the relationship between a condo association and a legal firm? And do the owners have any say in communication with an attorney? For example, if they suspect that the board uses the legal firm excessively to handle petty matters
no,
real matters. What's good there?
So, do the unit owners in and of themselves have a right to communicate with the lawyer and, you know, make calls to the office that the attorney, quite frankly, is going to charge for? No, they don't.
Oh.
But I will tell you, many times, in doing this almost 30 years now, that unit owners. You know, remember, let's backtrack. Remember that your board is there as representatives of the unit owners. That's why you elect your board, basically, to represent the owners. But sometimes, you know, that there's obviously animosity between the board and the owners, and as an attorney representing an association, I'll get emails all the time, quite frankly, that say, you know, hey, Mr. Glazer, I know you represent the board, but let me tell you what's going on here. Let me tell you why your board is doing something illegal over here. Now, when I get an email like that, just because a unit owner wrote to me doesn't mean that the unit owner is wrong and I should ignore them. Mm-hmm. At least that's how I see it, right? If a unit owner accuses the board of doing something wrong, and I know that, wow, if this is true, this board is going to be in trouble, then I feel it's my obligation to say, wait a minute. You know, I don't know who this unit owner is, but at least I feel a need to bring it up to the board and say, hey, here, let me show you this email I got from a unit owner. Is this true? Because if it is, it's a problem. You know, and some attorneys may think otherwise and say, you know, it's from a unit owner. I don't represent them. Who cares? But, you know, if I learned anything over nearly 30 years, it's an older attorney taught me this, to keep this in mind, and it's a good thing to teach younger attorneys. Even a broken clock is right twice a day. You ever hear that? You ever hear that statement, that saying? And it's very, very true. Just because, you know, you think someone's a complainer, someone's annoying, all they do is complain about what goes on, it does not mean that this particular time that they're telling you something, that they're wrong. Oftentimes they are right. And let me tell you something. If a unit owner puts me on notice of something and they're right, the board is doing something wrong, and I knew about it, I now have this knowledge, and I failed to tell the board what this unit owner alleged, I think I did something wrong. Absolutely. It was a failure on my part to let the board know or to investigate it further. That's how I see it. Okay? Thanks for the call, Julia. Appreciate it. We got to take our bottom of the hour break. Keep the calls coming in, everybody. 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Is your condominium or HOA in need of accounting services? Look no further. Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is one of South Florida's largest accounting and auditing firms, as recognized by the South Florida Business Journal, and is one of the few accounting firms uniquely specialized to provide accounting services to their growing condominium and homeowner association clientele throughout Florida. With primary offices in Aventura and Boca Raton, satellite offices in Naples and Orlando, and a professional staff of 65, Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is prepared to meet the needs of any condominium or HOA in the state. The professionals at Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg also have experience working with timeshares, cooperatives, hotel condominiums, mixed-use buildings, and ancillary operations like restaurants, spas, and country clubs. Put their 25 years experience in your corner. Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg, 305-937-0116. That's 305-937-0116 or grgcpa.com.
Someday, you will need insurance, and for that day, you'll be glad you wrote down Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. Why? Because Insurco virtually insures everything. They're a full-line insurance agency that'll put together the best possible coverage and premium for almost anything. Need homeowners or condo insurance? Call Insurco. Need auto or motorcycle insurance? Call Insurco. How about golf cart insurance or trailer and RV insurance? Just call Insurco for a free quote. 1-888-298-8838. They're open every day. From renter's insurance, officer's and director's insurance, and personal liability umbrellas to all types of business insurance, boat insurance, cancer policies, life, health, and annuities, all you need is Insurco. Get a free quote at 1-888-298-8838. They service Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach, speak English and Spanish. Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. It's the only name you need. 1-888-298-8838. Office at 14401 West Sunrise Boulevard in Sunrise, inside Edmore Chevrolet.
Need an insurance evaluation, audit, or quotation for your condo association or homeowners association? If so, then you need to speak with our insurance experts at Mack, Mack & Waltz. We insure over 800 associations, and we are the clear leader in this marketplace. Mack, Mack & Waltz has been in business since 1989. We write insurance on billions of dollars of property values. We are an independent insurance agency representing insurance companies which specialize in condo and HOA insurance. The staff at Mack, Mack & Waltz works closely with board members and property managers and regularly attends association meetings to help educate the association about their insurance policies. To learn more about how Mack, Mack & Waltz can save you money and improve your insurance program, call now 954-640-6225 and ask for Greg Waltz. 954-640-6225, Mack, Mack & Waltz Insurance Group. Let us protect your association.
Tired of the lousy quality and customer service from your current internet and telephone provider? Are your monthly bills continuing to go up while the level of service you receive goes down? There is a choice. Based in South Florida, OpticalTel is a fully integrated telecable company utilizing advanced fiber optic technology to deliver video, internet, and telephone service to condominiums and homeowners associations throughout Florida, all at a great price. OpticalTel has defined itself as a leader within the MDU marketplace, providing fiber optics in your home or unit. OpticalTel covers the entire gamut of video, internet, and telecommunication deployment within the condominium and HOA marketplace. Call us before you sign that long-term bulk contract. OpticalTel is the clear choice for video, internet, and phone from beginning to end. Call 1-800-30-FIBER. That's 1-800-30-FIBER. 1-800-30-FIBER. Or visit us at OpticalTel.com.
Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs. We're taking your calls on anything and everything in the condo and HOA world. Give us a call in the studio, 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. Just want to amend an answer that I previously gave regarding the audio and video recording at condo meetings. So here's what the actual administrative rules say. So they do say any unit owner can tape record or videotape meetings of the board, committee meetings, or unit owner meetings subject to some restrictions, right? We'll go through them quick. The only audio and video equipment and devices which owners are authorized to utilize at any such meeting is equipment which doesn't produce sound, produce distracting sound or light, right? That's obvious. Next one, if adopted in advance by the board or unit owners as a written rule, audio and video equipment shall be assembled and placed in position in advance of the meeting, right? But so there's got to be a rule that specifies that. Another one, if adopted in advance by the board or unit owners as a written rule, anyone videotaping or recording shall not be permitted to move about the meeting room in order to facilitate the recording, right? But again, you need a written rule in advance. And here's the one that Angelo was specifically talking about. So here's what it says. If adopted in advance by the board or unit owners as a written rule, advance notice shall be given by the board by any unit owner desiring to utilize any audio or video equipment. Okay? So if, Angela, your board had a written rule in place that says you have to give us advance notice, so yeah, that would be enforceable. But I would tell you, I don't think I know of any at this point that actually have adopted these types of written rules, because what's the difference? So you provide the written notice in advance, and you're allowed to videotape it anyway, okay? All right, so back to the phones. How about we go to Mark in Pompano? How are you, Mark?
Hello. Never miss your show. Enjoy it very much.
Thank you, Mark. Much appreciated. How can we help you?
We have about six buildings in our condo and four stories, up to four stories. They're going to, on three of the condos, have renovation on the elevator. They claim it'll be 3 to 5 weeks. I'm in good shape. I only use the stairs. I don't even use the elevator. Yeah. A lot of people with walkers, et cetera, et cetera. Are those individuals during that 3 to 5 weeks either got to move out, or do you exist on delivery services, or are there any other choices?
So there's only one elevator for the entire building?
Yeah, to each building.
Yeah, I mean, I
are they
wish...
under any obligation to provide any type of temporary type elevator service of some kind? Or
absolutely, no, just... absolutely not.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay, Mark. But no, absolutely not. You know, unfortunately, they're in a tough situation if you're elderly and you know you live on an upper floor. Hey, my mom has that situation where she lives. If the elevator's out, thank God. And she still has the ability, 88 years old, but she can walk
the steps. Your homeowner insurance, would there be any types of policies that would provide benefits in such a situation that you know of?
You know what? That's a great question. My gut tells me no, but you know what? It's worth the answer. Here's what I'm going to do. I promise you, and for our elderly listeners out there, I'm going to make a phone call to our insurance agent that we deal with, from Mac and Waltz on the show, and Greg's been with us forever since the start of the show. And I'm going to see if Greg can give us an answer, what he thinks. If the elevators are going to be shut down in a community for a while and you're elderly, you cannot live there. There's no way you can live there. Would a policy potentially provide relocation expenses for the interim? And I will find that out for you, Mark. That's a great question. My gut is telling me no, because you know it didn't occur as a result of a natural disaster. So then I would think, of course, there'd be relocation expenses kick in. My gut's telling me no, but you know what? It's worth asking the question, and I think it's a good question.
Sure.
Okay.
May I say that I did look up on the computer about your board-certified firms, and ours is in there, and I'm glad I did check it. And
that's awesome.
One other thing, I wouldn't miss your show, but I do have to have a bottle of Pepto-Bismol for each show.
How come?
And the reason being, when you talk about Trump, my blood pressure goes up 200 points, which is certainly your right to talk about. But can you, in all honesty, compare Trump to Bloomberg as a potential real presidential candidate or president?
Can I compare? Yes, and I'll base it on results. Mm-hmm. And I'll say this, I'm 52 years old right now, and just simply based on results in my lifetime, without a doubt, there is not even a close second as to which president has done more for this country. So, and by the way, unlike Bloomberg, he doesn't flip-flop and apologize for the things that he's done in the past.
Bloomberg has been a Republican longer than Trump.
He flip-flop. And by the way, so he got caught, as we know, Bloomberg got caught this week, basically saying that his stop-and-frisk policy in New York, he's on an audio recording, basically saying we went into the high-crime communities and we used it, and we had the cops bombard these areas. And you know what happened as a result of that? Crime plummeted. He actually did something that was wonderful, that was great, that actually saved lives in minority communities. But now that we have this BS woke culture, what does the guy do? He walks around now apologizing for the actions that he took as mayor of New York City that benefited who the most? The minority neighborhoods. He saved God knows how many lives with a policy that actually did something for these communities and worked. But now, because of this woke culture, he goes about apologizing for it because it's not politically correct anymore. That's exactly who I don't want for president of the United States. So I'm sorry we disagree on that, Mark. How about we go to Joan in Orlando?
And Pepto doesn't do anything for high blood pressure.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, Karen? Here's a guy that crime was completely out of control, set up a stop and frisk, sent the cops into the most dangerous areas. These cops worked their butts off, brought down crime in New York to the lowest level in decades, something you should be proud about as mayor. I'm giving the guy credit.
Yeah,
he did a great job on that.
I do agree.
Wasn't
you can't
afraid
just
to
target
do what he, yep.
certain
What does
people.
He do? He apologizes for it now. Really? No, that's not who I want as my president. Absolutely not. How about we go to Joan in Orlando?
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
How are you, Joan?
I have a question thanks. It's related to an earlier question about video recording the board meetings. And just to quickly preface my issue, the board that we have currently has been very non-transparent. And in addition, when they organized this particular board meeting, there was no agenda.
Okay.
So I showed up and...
Well, you're in a condo or an HOA, Joan? Joan, are you a condo or an HOA?
A condo.
Okay.
A condo. And I showed up to videotape it very quietly, sat in the corner with my phone, so wasn't bothering anybody, and there were only a few people there. Videotaped the meeting, and then I finally saw a copy of the meeting minutes recently, and in the meeting minutes, the board has a whole paragraph dedicated to the fact that me, in naming me as an owner, came to the meeting to record it, and then they go on to claim that I was disrupting the meeting,
right?
And that I, for some nonsense. But the irony of it is, I have the recording of the meeting,
right?
And I didn't make any interruption or bother anybody or do anything. So I kind of feel like they're deliberately, targeting me for, videotaping the meeting.
So here's what you can do: you can write a letter asking them to have them amend their minutes, or at the next meeting, stand up during the good and welfare section, right, which is typically on every agenda. And say, hey, I'm reviewing your minutes. I see that you're accusing me of being disruptive. I actually have the audio tape to prove that I wasn't disruptive. Can you explain?
Mm-hmm.
See
mm-hmm.
what they say. But you know what? I wouldn't let it bother me too much. Shake it off, Joan.
What if everybody in the meeting starts recording on their phone? What's to prevent that?
There's nothing that prevents that. And again, allowed by statute.
Yeah,
totally allowed by statute. But thanks for the call, Joan.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's do this. Let's take our final break of the hour, taking your calls, everybody. Don't wait till the last minute. 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Is your home or condo looking old, worn out, and in need of a fresh look? Then you need PD Painting to paint your property and make it look like new again. PD Painting will first properly prepare your home and condo and then use only the highest quality paint products. After many years in the painting industry, PD Painting has achieved a reputation for always delivering a reliable and professional finish. PD Painting is fully licensed and insured and offers a 7 to 10 year warranty. Their technicians are expert craftsmen. Let PD Painting handle all the details and then sit back and watch them restore your property and bring back that brand new look and feel. Need a service call? PD Painting will be there on the spot. Need financing? PD Painting can offer that too. Call PD Painting at 888-416-3204. Again, that's 888-416-3204. Go to the website pdpaintinginc.com. Need painting done in your home and community? Contact the experts at PD Painting.
Here's Jeff and Jonathan from Sherlock Tree.
Do your trees on your property look like a mess? Are they unsightly and overgrown? At Sherlock Tree Company, we know you're tired of going from company to company, hoping to find the one that gets it. At Sherlock Tree Company, we get it.
I'm Jonathan, the head arborist at Sherlock Tree Company. We've been here in South Florida since 1974, serving the Tri-County area. Our entire team is first class. We are committed to the long-term health and wellness of your trees. Please call me or any one of our other certified arborists at 954-788-4000.
Sherlock Tree has state-of-the-art equipment that is ready for action the minute we roll up on your job and what you've hired us for. Our large staff does residential, commercial, and large HOA work for some of the most notable properties in South Florida. Whether it's trimming or pruning, tree removal, new tree installation, or even if you want a whole new look, Sherlock Tree won't quit unless you are completely satisfied.
Call me, Jonathan, at Sherlock Tree Company at 954-788-4000. Check us out on the web at SherlockTree.com. That's SherlockTree.com.
This message is for anyone who has taken on the important responsibility of becoming an officer or director in a homeowner or condominium association. It is also for the management companies who work closely with these caring people to make sure things are done the right way. Hello, I'm Gil Pomar, South Florida Regional President for CenterState Bank, now the second largest bank based in Florida. Our bank, CenterState Bank, has an amazing team of professionals who are exclusively dedicated to the homeowner and condo association market. Your job is not easy. There are repairs and new projects that need financing. There are legal and social issues that need to be understood. There are also technology and servicing issues that your residents want to be improved. Why not choose a bank that knows this business backward and forward? Why not have a local banker who will meet with you face-to-face whenever it is convenient for you or your board? CenterState Bank has over 2,000 associations as customers for a reason. Please give us a chance to earn your business. Call Terry Russo at 954-633-1666 to make it happen. CenterState Bank is an equal housing lender and a member of the FDIC.
Is your condo or HOA paying too much to heat the pool or spa? If so, now's the time to switch to geothermal technology with Symbiont Service Corporation. Geothermal technology with Symbiont Service is eco-friendly, green technology that harnesses the energy stored beneath the Earth's surface to heat and cool your swimming pool. Geothermal technology not only helps you reduce your carbon footprint, but rest assured, you can't beat geothermal for reliability and performance. It's even unaffected by air temperature. Best of all, Symbiont Service's geothermal solution heats like gas at a fraction of the cost and with a serviceable life expectancy of 15 to 20 years, which is 2 to 3 times as long as conventional pool heaters or more. And get this, geothermal technology by Symbiont Service can actually cool your pool in the summer months. Symbiont Service serves the entire state of Florida. Go geothermal now. Find out how Symbiont Service can heat or cool your pool and save you money. Call Symbiont Service at 800-881-4328. That's 800-881-4328. And to learn more about Symbiont Service and read the amazing customer reviews, visit geothermalflorida.com.
final segment of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Karen Curtis with attorney Eric Glazer, board certified in community association law. Number to call, don't wait till the very end to ask your questions of Eric. It is 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585, and you're busy.
Absolutely, Karen. We got to remind everybody our seminars are coming up, and remember, we're smack dab in the middle of a very busy election season, and if you don't get certified either a year before becoming a board member or once you get on, you have 90 days to get certified once you become a board member, and if you don't, you're automatically off the board. One way of getting certified, attend our popular Condo Craze board certification class. We've certified over 20,000 Floridians all across the state. And again, the class was also approved by the DBPR to provide two 2020 legal update credits for all managers that attend.
Yeah.
And we got one coming up really quick. Next one, the March 3rd, 9 a.m., Miami Beach Convention Center.
Yes, and then March 19th, Dave and Buster's. We love this one in Hollywood. Yeah. At 5 o'clock, he feeds you. He educates you. He entertains you. You're amazing. You're like Trump.
March 19th is going to be a big day, right? And then
6 p.m.
After moving on from Hollywood, we go to Naples New Hope Church on March 27th.
And then April 4th, 9 a.m., Miami Beach Convention Center.
April 23rd in Tampa at the Tampa Convention Center.
And April 28th, Broward Signature Grand right there off of 595. That's at 9 a.m.
2 days later, West Palm Beach Convention Center.
Love it.
April 30th.
Okay, that's a good one. And June 4th then, Orlando Convention Center. So you're all over the state.
Absolutely. So guys, if you can make it from anywhere from Miami to Hollywood to Naples to Tampa to Broward to West Palm Beach or Orlando, please come take the class, enjoy it, learn something. Karen, tell everybody what we teach.
Yeah, you teach so many different topics. Even if you've been before, go again because he always updates it. You learn something new. And this is at his seminar, the importance of the from time to time language, official records, the different types of documents that govern your community, service and emotional support animals. That's a hot one. Yeah. Collections, manager responsibilities, all of the new laws that were passed this year, many of which you were at hand in, and a lot more. Food is served. It's delicious. It's free. Everyone walks out with a frameable certificate and with the notes from his seminar. And you certainly are much, much wiser. How do they register?
Hey, just go to Condo Craze and HOA. HOAs.com. Again, Condo Craze and HOAs.com. Looking forward to meeting and teaching everybody. Back to the phones. Liz in Fort Lauderdale. How are you, Liz?
Hi.
Good morning. How can we help?
Hi. I have a question. I got an inspection report from the city of Fort Lauderdale, code enforcement.
Yep.
And it's saying here that, that permits weren't acquired for the condo that I'm living in for work that was done.
Is that inside
the
unit?
The condo 6 years ago, the person that I bought it from said everything was done. There was no problems. And that's how I bought it. Like, the only thing I bought was vertical blinds.
Right.
Everything was here. And I bought a shower head. That was the only other thing I bought.
Right.
And all of a sudden, 6 years later, they're saying that this man never got permits for anything.
Hmm.
Such as?
So,
what didn't he get permits for?
I'll read you the one part. It says, this property has been altered. Apartment 3, which this isn't, has been divided into two apartments. Work that had been done without a permit is included but not limited to installation of new windows.
Oh.
Okay, but it says it has been divided into two units. I take it your unit was not divided into two units,
where
right?
Where I live, it has always been, this whole side of the building, two bedrooms, two baths.
Right. Okay. So maybe
the only thing I did was move in.
Okay. Maybe
and
it's an error.
And, of course, myself.
Okay. Hold on, Liz. Maybe it was an error. Why not go down there, ask what in the world this is all about. Obviously, you believe it's a mistake. See what they say. I wouldn't panic just yet, okay?
I'm a nervous wreck, believe me.
No,
when I picked this up in the mail yesterday, it was like, oh, my God. What?
I'm sure it'll work out.
What if you didn't get permits for this work?
Then
who would be responsible?
If the work is unpermitted and it's your property, then, yeah, technically you could be responsible.
She inherits it?
Yeah, she inherited that problem.
Oh.
Now, I don't know, at the time that you did the closing, typically you do, like, you know, a lien search
right
with the city, and you find out if there's any opened permits on your property. Hopefully, at the time you closed, there weren't any open permits, or how did the inspector
find out?
But, that's going to be interesting in and of itself. But go down there.
I don't know. See, because they wanted a cash deal, and my sister and I purchased this. We happened to come into some money, and we bought it.
Cash.
Yeah, it was okay.
Right. Hey, Liz.
Someone we knew.
Liz, don't sweat it. Go down there and see what they say. Maybe it's a mistake.
Sounds like she didn't do a real estate agent and all
that
stuff.
Don't freak out. It's not worth freaking out until you know exactly what it's about. Okay? So take it easy.
But
deep breath.
It's true. I mean, I know it wasn't altered as far as, you know, making two apartments out of one.
Okay, so then you have nothing to worry about.
I live in a closet.
Okay. Then you...
Would I need an attorney for this?
Don't know yet. Don't know yet. Why not go down, see what they say, and then if you need an attorney, you give us a call in the office. 954-983-1112. You got it. 954-983-1112. All right, how about back to the phones? Frank and Delray.
Hey, Frank.
You there, Frank?
Hello.
Hey, Frank. How can we help?
I have a question about what to do. We have a board member who owns a company. It's registered in her house. It's a computing software company.
Okay.
And when the secretary of the board wanted new software to do the minutes with, she said that she had to buy the software through her company. Is that legal?
So the secretary wanted to buy software that she was going to use for the building, but she bought it through her company?
No. The secretary wants to buy software to do the minutes and the books. And the treasurer who owns this computing company told her that she had to buy it through
the treasurer?
Wouldn't you get bids?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, you may need bids if it's over and above certain, if it's over and above like 10% of the association's
budget.
But isn't
it a conflict of interest to direct somebody that she has to buy it through?
Of course.
Owned by a board member?
Absolutely. It's a conflict of interest. And the treasurer who's making that demand that the software be bought through her company clearly has a conflict, clearly shouldn't be dictating where the association buys its equipment from or its software from. That's obviously a problem. She should abstain from voting on that issue. And by the way, if the association does wind up buying the software through the treasurer's company, that can still be done. Florida law allows for it, but what do you need? You need a vote of the other members. Two-thirds of those members have to vote in favor of it. It has to be disclosed, the relationship, and the unit owners have a right to cancel it, but it can be done. But that owner, that treasurer, better not vote on the issue because it's clearly a conflict. Okay, thanks for the call, Frank. Got to finish up quick. Fort Lauderdale, Mike.
Yeah,
Eric, you got 1 minute, Mike. Got to talk fast.
I will. My question is very simple: food and drink by the pool.
Okay.
What are the regulations for that on a condo?
Okay, whatever the board wants them to be. Okay.
Uh-huh. So, whatever the board wants them.
In other words, if the board can make reasonable rules and regulations, right, regarding use of the common elements. Now, I'm not aware of any specific code, whether it be a state code, whether it be a local county code, any municipal codes, that say you're not allowed to bring food by a pool. There might be something relating to glass bottles, maybe,
right. But
I don't even think there's that. So the board has
said no food, no drink at the pool.
Yeah, and you know, so the question is, would that be a reasonable rule or regulation? And I can tell you, boards have pretty wide latitude in that regard. So if the board comes out with a rule that says no food or drink by the pool, then I would think that would be fine.
Usually it's just no glass.
Right, it's no glass. But, you know, maybe they can make a separate area where there's tables or something, if there's room, where you have to eat over there. You can't bring them over to your seats. That would be fine, too. But the bottom line, very wide latitude in making reasonable rules and regulations. Right,
yes,
exactly. And they want to keep the area clean.
Yes.
I get it. But that brings us...
entire show from beginning to end.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Much appreciated. You got it. Well, that's nice to end on a note like right? Okay.
Fantastic.
So, guys, thanks for tuning in to another week of Condo Craze and HOAs. We'll speak to you again next Sunday here on 850 at 11 a.m. Everybody have a wonderful, safe week.
Bye, Eric.
Okay.